Welcome back to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary, and a little lagniappe for you, too. Today, vote Jack Nicklaus for golf czar. The man who's won more major golf tournaments than anyone else, including Tiger Woods, has spoken. This past weekend, this same man proved that if the so-called guardians of golf don't make changes to the golf balls and the golf equipment soon, he will inflict punishment on professional golfers all by himself. That man is Jack Nicklaus. For many years, golf's legendary Golden Bear has been trying to get the United States Golf Association, or the USGA, and Europe's Royal and Ancient Society, the RNA, to make some much-needed changes to today's juiced golf balls and equipment and preserve the challenge of some of America and the world's greatest golf courses. We've covered this subject before in this space, so let's take a closer look now at what Jack Nicklaus and many of the rest of us have been talking about. Several decades ago, most championship-level golf courses were designed with the idea that professional golfers would rarely hit a 300-yard drive off the tee. The maximum length of such golf courses hovered between like 7,000 to 7,200 yards on the PGA Tour. Some of them were a bit shorter, such as Oakmont Country Club near Pittsburgh at about 6,600 yards, while Augusta Country Club in Georgia, home of the Masters, measured at about 7,100. Just 40 years ago, in 1980, which was the first year that the PGA Tour used driving distance statistics and made them available to us, the longest driver on the men's professional golf tour was Dan Pohl. His average off the tee then was 274.3 yards, and he was the longest off the tee. The PGA Tour average for all the other golfers back then was a paltry, at least by today's standards, 257 yards. Let's review how the distances off the tee have increased by the decade. By 1990, Tom Pertzer was number one, up to 280 yards off the tee as the longest, the tour average 263. By 2000, this guy named John Daly, Long John Daly, led the way at 301 per drive, and the PGA Tour had crept up to 273 yards. In 2010, Robert Garrigus, remember him, was the top driver on tour with 316 yards per drive, and the tour average was now up to 287. In 2019, last year, Cameron Champ averaged 319 yards per drive, and the PGA Tour average for all golfers was all the way up to 296 yards. Now, 40 is the operative number here. The average men's professional golfer is now driving the ball about 40 yards longer than he did 40 years ago back in 1980. So what does that mean? Well, it means this. On a par 4 or par 5 golf hole, the average PGA Tour golfer is likely hitting an average of nearly 3 clubs shorter into the greens than he did back in 1980. Those 40 yards equates to about 3 club lengths. A 6-iron to the green back in 1980 is now turned into a 9-iron today. As the result of these shorter shots into the greens, the weekly scoring averages have also tumbled. Way back in the dark ages of 1980, only two players, Lee Trevino and Tom Watson, averaged fewer than 70 strokes per round for the entire golf season on the PGA Tour. Last year in 2019, the PGA Tour fielded a whopping 16 players who completed the year with a scoring average of less than 70 shots per round. Now, last year's leader, Rory McIlroy, came in at about 69 shots per round. So during a 4-round golf tournament played on a par 72 golf course last season, Rory McIlroy was statistically likely to finish 12 shots under par on average for any weekly event. Wow. Now, how do you compare the skill of golfers today versus those who played 40 years ago? The average championship golf course today would need to be lengthened by an average of 40 yards off the tee for par 4 and par 5 holes to accommodate the extra length they're seeing from these new equipment changes. That would require an extra 560 yards, or about one-third of a mile, added to an average PGA Tour golf course in order to maintain a consistent style of golf as we saw played back in 1980. But wait, there's more. What about those longer distances which the golfers are now hitting with technologically advanced golf balls and other technologically advanced golf clubs in their bag? For example, in 1980, an average 7-iron would carry about 150 yards. 40 years later, the technology has helped an average 7-iron carry 180 yards. So, for the sake of argument, let's now assume something else, that we would also need to lengthen the approach shots for all 18 holes, including par 3s, by an average of about 30 yards to remain constant with 1980 golf as well. So that in itself would add another 540 yards to the average golf course. So let's do our math here. 560 yards extra from the tee, another 540 yards of extra carry to the greens, we'd need an extra 1,100 yards to a 1980 golf course in order to make shots comparable this year. In other words, today's PGA Tour golf courses would need an extra 5/8 of a mile added to the golf course in order to stay similar to the golf being played 40 years ago. So a 7,100-yard championship golf course back in 1980 would need to be stretched out to a whopping 8,200 yards long today, using today's improved golf balls and golf equipment to provide a fair comparison to golf being played in the previous era. Now, the cost of additional land and maintenance and environmental issues related to making golf courses even longer and longer just doesn't make any sense at all. So golf has allowed this to happen to itself. In the name of generating additional sales, these increasingly higher-tech golf clubs and golf balls are being marketed by golf equipment makers who just so happen, surprise, to heavily advertise on nationally televised golf tournaments. That brings us all the way back to the beginning and to the game's greatest modern player, one Jack Nicklaus. Last weekend, the PGA Tour played its annual Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio. Jack Nicklaus himself designed the golf course in his own hometown. After watching Thursday's first round on his layout, Jack Nicklaus reminded the assembled media afterwards that his golf course was not designed to be played by today's long-driving bombers using their high-tech golf balls and lighter golf clubs. The 80-year-old golf legend had become sick and tired of waiting for the USGA and R&A to finally make some changes needed to today's golf balls and clubs and dial it back. In other words, the Golden Bear growled. He said, "They can't keep burying their heads to this. They see it. They watch television. They see these guys hit the golf ball. It isn't about how far they hit it. You can't keep making golf courses longer. You just don't have enough land. You don't have enough money to do it. And the golf ball itself is a very simple thing to fix. And I've been preaching about it, good gracious, I've been preaching about it now 43 years I first went to the USGA. I mean, that's a long time to be saying, hey, we're still studying it. All right, guys, stop studying. Do something, will you please?" Good job, Jack. After two rounds at his golf course by Friday afternoon, the leaders in the clubhouse were Tony Finau and Ryan Palmer at 9 under par. Several others were just one or two shots behind. The four-round tournament record of 19 under par was definitely in play for the weekend. But after Big Jack finished his big sermon, he went back to the drawing board, and he took matters into his own hands for the final two rounds of his tournament. During Saturday and Sunday's last two rounds, the Jack Nicklaus-designed Muirfield Village Golf Club closely resembled a U.S. Open venue. Now, during those annual tournaments, the golfers are traditionally facing the most difficult course conditions that they'll encounter all year long. Well, over Saturday and Sunday's final two rounds at Jack's Memorial Tournament, the greens were not watered at all, and they became noticeably faster. The pin positions on those greens were put in the most diabolical locations which Jack Nicklaus himself could find. The rough along the fairways was not cut during the week, and it grew even higher to catch and penalize any errant shots, especially those from the young bucks who dared to cut any corners of Jack Nicklaus's golf course. By the time a stiff breeze appeared on Saturday afternoon, Jack Nicklaus's prize golf course design clawed that playing field like a tough old grizzly bear too. On Sunday, the course played even tougher. Only five players in the field broke par, the fewest for any final round at the Memorial since 1976. The average score in the final round was almost 76 shots, and that was the highest since 1978. After the final 36 grueling holes this weekend ended on Sunday evening in Ohio, that same 9-under-par score you heard on Friday evening was good enough to win the tournament for John Rahm. Now, this was fun to watch. PGA professionals struggling as their long bomb drives were being caught in some gnarly rough. And their recovery shots, instead of hitting the soft greens, were zooming across lightning-fast greens and landing into a yet another patch of nasty rough awaiting their next shot. It was both brutal and quite entertaining to watch. So, what is the moral of this story? Do not mess with golfing legend Jack Nicklaus and his personally designed golf course, ever. And while we're at it, now is the time to demand that the slothful supreme beings of golf, known as the USGA and the R&A, step aside and allow golf's golden bear to become the czar of golf, at least for a few months. I have the utmost confidence that Jack Nicklaus himself could oversee a very thoughtful and much-needed set of changes in standards for professional golf's high-tech golf balls and high-tech golf clubs. Grrr. Get him, Jack. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.
Your repair is smarter than the average pair. Your repair is always in the ranger's hair. At a picnic table, you will find him there. Stopping down more goodies than the average bear. He will sleep till noon, but before it starts, he'll have every picnic basket that's in jelly for fun. Yogi has it better than a millionaire. That's because he's smarter than the average bear.